ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انتظاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يتلونه حق تلاوته أولئك يؤمنون به، ومن يكفر به فأولئك هم الخاسرون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إني تارك فيكم الثقلين، كتاب الله وعترتي أهل بيتي. ما إن تمسكتم بهما لن تضلوا بعدي أبدا، وإنهما لن يفترقا حتى يرد علي الحوض. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
This متواتر and widely narrated and authentic hadith of our beloved Prophet, which is very commonly known as Hadith al-Saqalain, is narrated from more than 120 ashab by the efforts and research work performed by Ayatollah al-Ughma Mir Nasir Hussain Musawi Lakhnawi Rahmatullahi Alayh Nasir al-Millat in his famous book Abaqatul Anwar, which is considered to be not just a masterpiece of Islamic research work, but a reference point for all those who want to do further research regarding the incident of Ghadir and the largest sermon of the Holy Prophet of his lifetime that he delivered in that burning sands of the desert of Ghadir Qum, in which he had mentioned during this khutbah the famous Hadith al-Saqalain. We can read it in both ways. We can read it as in Nitarikun Fikum al-Saqalain in Arabic, which means I am leaving behind among you two weighty things, heavy things. Ma in tamassaktum bihima, as long as you guys stick to those two, lan tadhillu ba'di abada, you shall never be misled after me forever. Wa innahuma, and some of the narrations say wa innal latif al khabir nabba'ani annahuma, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Latif and Khabir, has informed me that these two are never going to be separated from each other, hatta yarida alayya al-hawd, until they both meet me at the fountain of Kawthar. And this hadith, the word saqalain in the hadith can also be recited grammatically in Arabic as as-siqlain. As-saqalain and as-siqlain. Siql means heavy and weighty, whereas saqal means something which is valuable. So both ways it's correct, and I'm leaving behind among you two valuable things. This great hadith of Rasulullah is an agenda for the entire Islamic Ummah till the Day of Judgment. And this hadith provides the reference point for the entire Ummah to turn to in every and any matter of their life, because every kind of need that the human beings may stand in need of till the Day of Judgment for their guidance and spiritual and eternal success, that need will be found in the Holy Quran and practiced and written, practiced and promoted and protected by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
It's very hard, brothers and sisters, for a scholar who is living 1100 years after the incident to narrate this hadith from the companions of Rasulullah, and not just from one or two, but more than 120. So those of you who have a little bit of uns, familiarity, and you are familiar with the Ilm al-Rijal, and of course Ilm al-Tarajim and Ilm al-Diraya, would understand how difficult it is for a research scholar sitting after 1100 years and talking about a statement of Rasulullah that has been and proving it, that it has been authentically narrated by those ashab. So we find that later on Ayatollah Amini rahmatullahi alayh, one of our great scholars from Iran who did his research work on the subject of Ghadir, and he traveled all over the world in Islamic countries, and also he went to the city of Lucknow, which used to be the center of Islamic research and Hawza in those days, and produced several mujtahideen and maraji. He, Allama Amini, went to the city of Lucknow, and for the research work that he did about his book, which is named Al-Ghadir, Kitab al-Ghadir, which is in 11 volumes. That is the biggest book written on the subject, Kitab al-Ghadir by Allama Amini. So he had to stay in Lucknow for 6 months, and he stayed inside the Nasiriya, famous historic Nasiriya library of Lucknow, where he slept inside the library during his research work. And when he came back to Iran, and somebody asked him about how was the climate in Lucknow, he said, well, I don't know. Because he never got out, he never had time to get out. He was sleeping inside the library for all those months to do the research on his subject. So we find that our scholars, our mujtahideen, our fuqaha have done great services to protect this priceless treasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he has left behind. our scholar, I'd like to shed some light on this hadith of Rasulullah tonight, so that we have some idea what is our responsibility towards this hadith of Rasulullah. Our scholars and research muhakkikin say that this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a living evidence that the risalat and messengership of Rasulullah is eternal and is going to survive till the Day of Judgment. And this hadith itself is an evidence to prove that our Holy Prophet is Khatamun Nabiyyin and the seal of all the messengers. Because as long as the Quran and Ahlul Bayt are going to survive, and they are going to survive till the Day of Judgment, because Prophet has already prophesied it in this hadith that innahuma lan yaftariqa, these two are never going to get separated from each other, hatta yarida alayya al-hawd, till they meet me in the fountain of Kawthar. So we understand that Quran and Ahlul Bayt are going to survive, and we understand that in the light of this hadith that the risalat and messengership of Rasulullah is going to survive till the Day of Judgment. Because if this message, which is the final message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was supposed to stop, then it would have been incumbent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send another messenger so that message should continue to guide the humanity. But since the Prophet, since the Ahlul Bayt and Quran are there, so the message of Rasulullah is continuing with the similar force, so there is no need for Allah to send any further messenger. Second of all, this hadith is a living prophecy from Rasulullah that Quran and Ahlul Bayt can never get separated from each other. This is Ikhbar-e-Ghaybi, Khabar-e-Ghaybi. Rasulullah ki taraf se ye ghaybi khabar sunai ja rahi hai ke Quran aur Ahlul Bayt kabhi ek dusre se juda nahi ho sakte. Ye ghaybi khabar hai. Ye mustaqbil ki khabar sunai ja rahi hai. Isse maazi ki khabar nahi hai, ye mustaqbil ke bare mein khabar sunai ja rahi hai. Even in the future, even not just in the lifetime of when the members of Ahlul Bayt were living in the time of Rasulullah's life, that they were having ittihad and bahd and unity with the noor of Quran. Not just that, but in addition to that, this is a prophecy from Rasulullah that these two will continue to be together till the Day of Judgment. Third of all, our muhakkikin say that this hadith is a living evidence from Rasulullah about the ismat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Because of the fact that when Quran and Ahlul Bayt are never separated from each other, so we find the noor of Quran, the noor of the entire Quran is found in the spirituality of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, which is a proof that they are the one who recite and understand and practice and defend the entire Quran in its totality. This is nothing but ismat. This is nothing but the ismat of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. So it is sufficient for us in order to understand the infallibility concept of Ahlul Bayt, just to turn to the Hadith al-Saqalain. And fourth of all, it is also an evidence that the Quran can never be victimized and subjected to any tahrif, any kind of alteration, because of the fact that Prophet has already said Quran and Ahlul Bayt will never be separated from each other. So as long as Quran is with the Ahlul Bayt, there's no one can dare make any tahrif into the Holy Quran. Isn't that right? So that's the fourth point that we learn in the light of Hadith al-Saqalain, that Quran's tahrif and alteration is protected and prophesized by Rasulullah and protected by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Sixth of all, this Hadith of Saqalain proves the fact that that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have the knowledge of entire Quran. Ilme kulli kitab. Because if they did not have the knowledge of the entire Quran, instead they have the knowledge of, they had the partial knowledge of Quran, they would never have been able to defend the Holy Quran, and Quran would never be, you know, along with them and unified with them. Quran would have got separated from them.
Subhanallah.
The reason why Quran will continue to be with them, and Quran is in unity with the Noor of Ahlul Bayt, because of the fact that they have the knowledge of Kullul Quran. That's the reason Quran will be with them and they are with the Holy Quran. Because our scholars say, when Prophet says, you know, وَإِنَّهُمَا لَنْ يَفْتَرِقَا, Ahlul Bayt and Quran will never get separated from each other. It doesn't mean that, you know, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam carries a Quran in his pocket all the time. This is not the meaning. Carrying the Quran in the pocket is not the meaning of ittihad. This is something which everybody can do. Those who even disbelieve in the Holy Quran, even the non-Muslims can do that. They can buy the Holy Quran, which has become the largest selling book after 9/11. And you know, so many non-Muslims can just buy the Holy Quran and carry it in their pocket. Isn't that right? So that doesn't entitle them to have ittihad and adamul iftiraq and unity, and never get separated from the Quran, because when Prophet says that Ahlul Bayt are, they will never get separated, it means the Noor of Quran will never get separated from the Maqam of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salatu wassalam. Now we have two kinds of Maqam and positions for Ahlul Bayt. It's not one. Like my teacher Abdullah Jawadi Aghri hafidhahullah was saying in his tafsir, that we have maqame haqiqiyye Ahl Bayt, the real position and high level that they enjoy, and we have maqame hukuki. Maqame hukuki of Ahl Bayt means their legal standing. What's their legal position, which touches our lives every day, 24/7, 365. What am I supposed to do? Being a believer in the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, being a believer in the walayat of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, who is the member of Ahlul Bayt living today. What am I supposed to do towards this concept? Is it something just theoretical, or it has something to do with my everyday life? What it has to do with my everyday life? What it has to do with my everyday life is that the legal position which Imam Mahdi alayhi salam enjoys on behalf of Allah, which is his imamat and walayat. What the Prophet is actually saying in the hadith, that the imamat and walayat of Ahlul Bayt will never be separated from the Holy Quran. He's not talking about the maqame haqiqi of Ahlul Bayt. Maqame haqiqi of Ahlul Bayt, the real position and their real highness, no human being can understand their real highness. If Prophet was obliging me and you to understand the maqame haqiqi of Ahlul Bayt, then that would be taklifi ma la yutaq. This is something that we, the sinner human beings, are unable to understand their azamat and greatness and highness.
Subhanallah.
So this is not what the Prophet is talking about, to understand the maqame haqiqi of Ahlul Bayt. No one understands their maqame haqiqi. This is beyond our reach. We simply are unable to understand their highness. He's not talking about that. He's talking about maqame haqiqi of Ahlul Bayt. That means the imamat and walayat of Ahlul Bayt, which will never get separated from Quran. So now, whosoever says that Quran is enough for me, if somebody says in the Islamic Ummah that, like, just like it had been said in after the death of Rasulullah, Hasbuna Kitabullah, because they wanted to turn their back to the walayat of Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam, and that's the reason that Muslims got separated, Islam didn't got divided into 73 sects. Let's be very clear. Muslims got divided into 73 sects. Islam is one. Islam never got divided. Islam, the real Islam, is one. Because we have only one straight path in Islam, And that is the path of the of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam and the path of Ahlul Bayt. So Islam never got divided. Islam is one. Muslims got divided into 73 sects. So they invited the harm in their way. They asked for it. Because they turned their backs to the walayat of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Because they had their own political agendas. They didn't want to give in to the governance concept of Imam Ali, because if they want to give in to his governance, then their political interest of this material dunya will never be served, because Imam Ali is never going to give anyone more than what he deserves, because Imam Ali is adil. That's the reason people have been opposing him, because of his adalat, not because of his zulm. He has no zulm. People want extra favors. And that's what makes it hard to obey Imam Ali alayhi salam. Because if you are an obedient person towards Imam Ali and his walayat, you have to stick to your adalat. If you deviate from your adalat, then get prepared for the response. Because Imam Ali alayhi salam is very strict in his adalat. So we find that the Muslims got divided into 73 sects of Islam. So anybody who says, like it was said in those days, you know, by one of the companions, that Hasbuna Kitabullah, the book of God is enough for us. So if there are some people, even today, you know, I travel to different communities, I encounter some people who say, you Mawlana, just tell us from Quran, is there a verse in the Holy Quran that supports this? What do you mean by that? Just tell us from Quran. Did the Holy Prophet leave the Holy Quran only? We don't believe in that. Prophet left behind two things, Quran and Ahlul Bayt. So why do you expect that everything should be told from the Holy Quran only? This is against the Hadith of Saqalain. Are you the follower of those who said Hasbuna Kitabullah? If you are a follower of those who said Hasbuna Kitabullah, then it still makes some sense, because that is what your ideology is. But we are the followers of Ahlul Bayt. We don't believe in Hasbuna Kitabullah. We believe in the Hadith of Saqalain, where Prophet has left behind two things, not one. And we believe that the Hadith of Rasulullah and the Hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen and the Hadith of the rest of the 11 Imams are equally hujjat without a difference, just like the Holy Quran. That's what we believe. This is our faith. So why do you say just show it from the Holy Quran? Why? You are trying to oppose the contents of Hadith of Saqalain. Because Prophet is not saying that. But what Prophet has said, Inna huma lan yaftariqa, those two will never get separated from each other. So when they will never get separated from each other, anyone who tries to say, I will just take one of the two, is actually leaving both of them. Because both of them will never get separated from each other. Isn't that right? So if somebody says, Quran is enough for me, I don't want the Ahlul Bayt. So now that you are leaving Ahlul Bayt, you must understand that Ahlul Bayt never gets separated from Quran, and Quran never gets separated from Ahlul Bayt. Once you say that I'm leaving Ahlul Bayt, you are also leaving the Holy Quran.
Subhanallah.
Whether you accept it or not, so you say that I am taking Quran only, but this is your lip service claim. You are not taking the Quran either, because you are leaving the Ahlul Bayt. Prophet has already said, "Wa inna huma lan yaftariqa," they both will never get separated. So are you trying to say that the Prophet's statement is a lie? But you are saying that I can take Quran only, and I can still succeed. So you are trying to say that Prophet, what Prophet said is untrue. God forbid. So we cannot say that Quran is enough for me. We cannot say that we will only take Quran, and we will only not say that we will only take the Ahlul Bayt. We will say that we will take both of them together, because both of them have ittihad and unity with each other. And they will continue to be together. The imamat of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and the walayat of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will continue to be muttahid and unified with the noor of Quran till the day of judgment.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So it's our responsibility that if we are serious about our spirituality, to follow the Holy Quran, then we have no other option except to obey the imamat and walayat of the member of Ahlul Bayt who is living in our time, which is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Quran itself has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this verse of Holy Quran which I recited in the beginning of my speech, Al-Ladina, this is from Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 121. Al-Ladina atainahumul kitaba yatlunahu haqqa tilawatihi. Those whom we gave the book, recite it the way it deserves to be recited. Haqqa tilawatihi. Ulaika yu'minuna bihi. They are the ones who believe in it. And then Allah says, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهِ, and whosoever denies it, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ, they are the losers. So, this حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ has already been interpreted by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in his tafsir, that حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ is that tilawat which is coupled with your tafakkur and tadabbur and ibrat and basirat. That means you think about what you are reading from the Holy Quran, you pay attention to what you are reading and you think about it so that you can take a lesson out of it. Ibrat means taking a lesson out of it. And you gain basirat and insight. If you are reading this kind of tilawat, then this is the way what Quran has commanded us to do. See, when Imam Ridha alayhi salam used to recite the Holy Quran, it has been narrated that that Imam Ridha alayhi salam used to read one Holy Quran in 3 days. Every 3 days, he used to finish one Quran. And he said that I can finish Quran sooner, but the reason that I do it in 3 days, because when I read the Holy Quran, I do tadabbur, I think about the verses of the Quran. So it takes 3 days to finish one Quran. And when he used to read Surah Al-Jumu'ah, وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ قُلْ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ, say what is in the law is better than lahav and tijarat and business, then he used to say slowly, لِلَّذِينَ التَّقَوْا, for those who have taqwa, and or in his heart. And whenever he used to read Surah قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, at the end he used to say, Rabbi Allah wa dini al-Islam, my Lord is Allah and my religion is Islam. This is the way of, every ayat which talks about Ahlul Iman, you take the ayat as if it is addressing yourself. And you say labbaik, you respond positively to what Allah is asking you to do. And everything that Allah is stopping us in the Holy Quran, when we encounter that, we apply it on ourselves so that we can abstain from that. This is the recitation of tadabbur. This is a recitation that means we are thinking about what we are reciting. Recitation is not just parroting the Holy Quran, that I grab one surah and I just keep on repeating it until I memorize it like a parrot, without any idea of what Allah has said, what Allah wants me to do, because this kind of recitation is going to lead us nowhere. Because even if we read the Holy Quran in this format 1,000 times, if I'm doing a haram in my life, that haram will continue. Isn't that right? So we find Haqqa Tilawatihi is when we hear a Quran has a triple responsibility on our neck, that first of all, to understand its learn the proper tajweed and proper rules of recitation of Holy Quran, which is not a big deal. It just takes, if you just want to learn the wajib stuff, there are lots of extra things of ilmu tajweed which you can skip, but the wajib amount, if you want to learn, it takes about 1 week. Depends on how much time you can donate. It's a matter of importance. So proper recitation and tilawat of Quran, and second of all, understanding its meanings, so that we know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And third of all, practicing its contents. When Prophet was talking about, so we find that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَنَامًا, please pay attention, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَنَامًا وسلام القرآن سورة البقرة. Everything has a summit and peak. And the summit and peak of Holy Quran is Surah Al-Baqarah. You know, just like you imagine, you see a mountain range with different hills and mountains, you know, and finally you find a mountain which is reaching up higher as compared to all the rest of the mountains. If you want to imagine and visualize the Holy Quran in that way, you find that that summit and peak in the entire Holy Quran, that peak and summit is Surah Al-Baqarah. That's the highest where Quran have reached, is Surah Al-Baqarah. So we find Surah Al-Baqarah has been called Sayyidul Quran, the leader of Quran. Fustatul Quran means the tent of Quran. And also we find the Holy Prophet has said in a hadith that's narrated in Tafsir Ayyashi that the long surahs have been given to me in the place of Torah. So you keep Torah on one side and the long surahs of Quran on one side. All the long surahs of Holy Quran, Prophet said, the long surahs of Quran are given to me in the place of Torah. And the Masani, those surahs which are called as Masani, they are given to me in the place of Zabur. And then, you know, the Mufassal. Mufassal are 67 surahs basically, which are called, combinedly we call them Mufassal. So those 67 surahs, because of those Mufassal, I became superior on the rest. So Prophet has got superiority on all the rest of the Holy Prophets because of the fact that he received, one of the reasons is because of the fact that he received these surahs from the Holy Quran. And likewise, when somebody asked the Rasulullah that Ayyul Qur'an Afdal, which part of the Holy Quran is the most superior? And the whole Quran is superior. But which part of the Holy Quran is the most superior? Prophet said, Al-Baqarah. That's Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah is the most superior of the entire Quran. It doesn't have any contradiction with some of the other perspectives when we say that Surah Al-Fatiha is the more superior surah, because when we say Surah Al-Fatiha is superior, it is from a different perspective because of the fact that it is Ummul Kitab. It's the summary of the entire Holy Quran. It has all the ma'arif and great teachings of the Holy Quran summarized in a nutshell. So that's a different perspective, being the Ummul Kitab and summary of the whole book. But when we are talking about Surah Al-Baqarah, it's because of its jami'iyyat and comprehensiveness. The reason why Surah Al-Baqarah includes, you know, different kind of teachings of Islam included in Surah Al-Baqarah, this comprehensiveness of Surah Al-Baqarah gives it the edge. So we find our scholars say, our mufassirin say, Surah Al-Baqarah has the discussion of Al-Nubuwatul Amma, all the prophets of God, you know, the general concept of all the prophets, the general prophethood concept, and likewise the history of the some of the greatest prophets like Hazrat Ibrahim and Hazrat Musa. Also, it has the attributes of the Muttaqeen and Munafiqeen and Kuffar, all of them combined in one surah. Also, it talks about the importance of Shahadat, concept of Shahadat in Islam. And likewise, it has some of the greatest ahkam mentioned in this surah, like ahkam of namaz, from fasting and prayers, and likewise of the family issues like rida and talaq and wasiyat and irs and all that stuff, you know, is mentioned, and some of the financial issues and transactional issues of Islam. Plus, our scholars say it includes the ayatul istikhlaf. Ayatul istikhlaf, we call to that ayat of Holy Quran which talks about the human being, insani kamil, being the khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. The ayatul istikhlaf, which talks about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the perfect human being to be the khalifa and vicegerent and deputy of Allah on earth. And my teacher was saying that if someone claims that the entire Quran is nothing but the tafsir of one ayat of Holy Quran, which is Ayatul Istikhlaf. If someone claims that, his claim is correct. अगर कोई साहब ये दावा करें कि सारा का सारा कुरान आयत इस्तिखलाफ की तफसीर है तो उन्होंने कोई गलत दावा नहीं किया. हकीकत भी ऐसी ही है कि पूरा का पूरा कुरान दर हकीकत उस एक आयत की तफसीर बयान कर रहा है और वही एक आयत है जो लोगों के हल्क से नीचे नहीं उतर सकी. सारा के सारा कुरान ने उसी एक आयत की तफसीर बयान की है मगर वही एक आयत है कि जो इंसानियत के हद से नीचे नहीं उतर सकी. कि अल्लाह की खिलाफत तो अल्लाह की तरफ से वलायत का क्या मकसद था, अल्लाह क्या चाहता है. दिस अर्थ बिलोंग्स टू अल्लाह सुभान व तआला लाइक ऑल द रेस्ट ऑफ द क्रिएचर्स दैट ही हैज क्रिएटेड बीइंग ही बीइंग द क्रिएटर एंड फाइनल एंड द सोल ओनर एंड मालिक ऑफ ऑल द क्रिएचर्स इजंट दैट राइट एंड नो वन हैज अ राइट टू रूल on his property other than his representatives. Isn't that right? And people have been electing their rulers, appointing their rulers and electing their rulers according to their likeness, according to their own interests. If we had understood the Ayatul Istikhlaf, to phir yahan sino pe jhanda laga ke member rasool pe na baith rahe hote. Taghut ka jhanda laga ke sine pe aur member Husain ibn Ali pe बैठ के मदिस पढ़ रहे हैं. मौला अबुल फजल अब्बास के अलम के साथ झंडा लगाया हुआ है इमाम बारगाहों पे. माना समझ गए होते कि वलायत अहले बैत का मकसद क्या है तो ये ना हो रहा होता. मैं कूफे में अगर रह रहा हूं तो मैं इब्ने ज़ियाद का भी झंडा लगाऊं और साथ मुसअब इब्ने अकील का झंडा भी लगा दूं. दमिश्क में रह रहा हूं तो मैं यजीद का भी झंडा लगा लूं साथ और साथ मुआविया का झंडा जो है वो भी लगा लूं और साथ साथ अमीर मोमिनीन का झंडा भी लगा लूं. सो ये इस बात की अलामत है कि अभी हमें वलायत अहले बैत का माना समझ में नहीं आया जो कि इस्लाम में जिस तरह से कहा जाता है ना कि ऑल रोड्स लीड टू रोम तो इस्लाम में सारी सड़कें जो है वलायत अहले बैत की तरफ जा रही हैं. हर चीज मोल्डेड है कि हमें वलायत अहले बैत की तरफ लेकर जाए, इमामत अहले बैत की तरफ लेकर जाए. हर चीज कस्टम बिल्ट है. आई रिमेम्बर इमाम खुमैनी रज़ियल्लाहु अन्हु, ही यूज्ड टू से दैट हुकूमत फलसफे अमलिय तमामिय फिक्ह, सारी की सारी फिक्ह इमाम सादिक अलैहिस्सलाम का अमली फलसफा इस्लामी हुकूमत है. हर बाप खोल के देख लीजिए आपको रुजू करवा रहे हाकिम शरा की तरफ. हाकिम शरा से रुजू करो, हाकिम शरा से रुजू करो, ये फैसला हाकिम शरा करेगा, ये बात हाकिम शरा बताएगा. हर चीज हाकिम शरा की तरफ रुजू कराई जा रही है. क्या मतलब है, थीम क्या है, चाहता क्या है अल्लाह, वो क्या चाहता है वो बात नहीं समझ सके. उस बात के ढांचे और बदन और स्केलेटन को, नमाज के स्केलेटन को अंजाम दे के ये समझ लिया कि हमने अहले बैत का हक अदा कर दिया है बगैर रूह के. जबकि वलायत अहले बैत तमाम की तमाम इबादतों की रूह है. सो व्हाट आई वाज सेइंग इज दैट द होली प्रॉफिट वाज दैट्स नरेटेड in Majma'ul Bayan, Tafsir Majma'ul Bayan, the Prophet was about to send an army for a battle. And whole bunch of people had gathered in the city of Medina, elderly people and middle-aged people and young people, all of them gathered close to the Holy Prophet. And Prophet came one by one to various people and was asking the same question, مَاذَا مَعْكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. How much Quran do you have with you? I already explained to you that having Quran with us does not mean that I carry a Quran in my pocket. Having Quran with us means how much noor of Quran did I learn and practice in my life? How much noor of the verses of Holy Quran did I manage to learn in my 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years of my life? How much noor of Quran did I learn and benefit and practice? That's the whole theme. So Prophet was asking, you know, one by one from various people who gathered here, because he's about to appoint a commander-in-chief of the army before sending the army. Even if there are two people, there one has to be the leader. Isn't that right? The hadith says, لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا إِثْنَانِ. If there were not, there were only two people on the face of earth surviving, one has to be the imam of the other. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not ready to leave the earth which has only two human beings without an imam. إِذَا خَرَجَ ثَلَاثَةٌ فَلْيُؤَمِّرُوا أَحَدَهُمْ. Even if three people of among you go for a trip, for a travel, make one among yourselves as the imam. So much emphasis on the imamah, and never be without an imam for every minutest thing. Even for one day or 2 days or 3 days, a prophet used to leave the city of Medina. He used to appoint somebody on his place to stay in the Medina to do the job. He never left without a leader, never left the community without a leader. So we find now the prophet is about, this is Majmu' al-Bayan, Tafsir Majmu' al-Bayan, is about to assign commander-in-chief of this army. Whole bunch of people have gathered, you know, of different ages. Prophet is asking one by one, Mada ma'aka min al-Qur'an, how much Qur'an do you have? He says, I know that surah. Okay, what about you? How much Qur'an do you have? One by one, Prophet asking from each person is replying, I know this much from Qur'an. Look at the criteria that Prophet had. Finally, Tafsir Majmu' al-Bayan says finally, hatta ata ala ahdathihim sinnan. Finally, Prophet found one of the youngest of the whole crowd, youngest boy, young man, a youth, you know. He was the youngest among all the people who had gathered. And Prophet asked the same question to him. Tafsir Majmu' al-Bayan says, Mada ma'aka min al-Quran, how much Quran do you have? And he said, this surah and this surah and this surah and Surah Al-Baqarah. As soon as he said Surah Al-Baqarah, Prophet said, Ukhruju wa hadha alaykum amir. Go out, and this guy is the commander upon you. Mullah farmaya apne ke Surah Al-Baqarah ki kitni importance hai Rasulullah ki nigaah mein. Ke agar ek jawan ke paas Surah Al-Baqarah ka ilm hai, to Rasulullah ki nigaah mein wo fauj ki qiyadat karne ka ahl hai. Chahe kitna hi jawan kyun na ho. Ab yahan ye nahi dekha ja raha ke yahan to bade bade aur boodhe maujood hain. When we talk about leading the community, when we talk about, you know, there are a whole bunch of people who have different criterias, you know. Maybe if somebody was there from today, maybe he would have said to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, I am a manager in Boeing. I have a director position in Martin Marietta, you know, Northrop Grumman, Microsoft. I'm a manager in Microsoft, Sun Microsystems. Why don't you take care of me? I have a computer IT degree. Look at the criteria that Prophet had to appoint a commander-in-chief. How much noor of Quran do you have? That means how much nuraniyat of the ilm and amal of Quran is found in your soul. This is going to determine your status in the eyes of Rasulullah. That much you will be close to the Ahlul Bayt. The lesser noor of Quran is found in your soul, the lesser taqarrub you would have towards the Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Because Quran and Ahlul Bayt can never be separated. The closer you get to Quran, the closer you are to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. The farther you are from Quran, the farther you will be from Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. That's the criteria to judge. Prophet has made it so simple for us. If you want to know how close we are to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, or how much he considers us to be close, look at how much you are close to the Quran. Because Imam Mahdi is with Quran, and Quran is with him, isn't that right? As simple as that. How many households today we have where people don't even read the Holy Quran? And this has been called as the living dead's house, grave. You know, اقرأوا القرآن ولا تتخذوا بيوتكم قبورا كما اتخذت اليهود والنصارى كما فعلت اليهود والنصارى. That means Prophet said, recite the Quran and don't make your houses to be your graves the way Yahud and Nasara have already done. So in the dictionary of the Holy Prophet, we like it or not, that's irrelevant. In the dictionary of the Holy Prophet, if we do not recite the Holy Quran in our house, this is the grave of that living dead person. Because the spirituality of that person is already dead. How many houses where you find the Quran is only used maybe at the time when we are marrying our daughters, we provide a very nice, beautiful red colored ghilaf, you know, and, you know, provide to our daughter as a gift. Or when a person dies away in our family, we open up the Quran to read Surah Yasin. Or maybe for an istikhara. These are the three most common uses of Quran in some of the households. So, this kind of household where Quran has there. See, the Prophet has said, Salasatun yashkuna ila Allah Azza wa Jal. Three things are going to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Masjidun la yusalla fi. A mosque where nobody goes to pray. You know, you convert a mosque into a coast town. Nobody bothers to go to a mosque. The mosque is there, we don't benefit. So this kind of mosque is going to complain on the Day of Judgment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَالِمٌ بَيْنَ جُهَالٍ. And Prophet said, a scholar among the jahil and ignorant people. This scholar is going to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. And مُصْحَفٌ مُعَلَّقٌ قَدْ وَقَعَ عَلَيْهِ الْغُبَارِ. And a book, Mushaf, Quran, upon which, you know, you place it and dust settles over the holy book. This kind of Quran is going to complain to Allah. This is our behavior towards Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. That's because, إِنَّهُمَا لَنْ يَفْتَرِقَ حَتَّى يَرِدَ عَلَيْهِ الْحَوْضِ. If we are allowing the dust to settle over Quran, we are allowing the dust to settle over our relationship with the walayat of Ahlul Bayt and the walayat of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. This is what we're doing towards Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, not for just towards Quran, because Quran and Imam Mahdi is united. So whatever we are doing towards Quran is actually, take it in the sense that you are doing towards Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And then you can see if we are muntazir and prepared for him. That preparedness belongs on the concept of his walayat and the obedience of walayat. How much we are even ready to even say a word towards Tawhut. Yet the more you think about the services of Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayh, the more you get to realize his greatness. In the time when some people used to, you know, spit on the face of Mu'ammameen and Ulama. In that time in Tehran, you find a person coming up and raising the head of Madhab al-Tashayyu and reinstating and reviving the teachings of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam, which we have forgotten. How many people used to ever even think about the occupation of Masjid al-Aqsa? Just give me any example before Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah who used to care about Masjid al-Aqsa. And tomorrow they want to occupy Najaf and Karbala and Medina. Isn't that right? Greater Israel. It's not a rocket science. You can go to Amazon.com and find the whole information available and the World Wide Web. It's not a highly confidential information. Unless if you want to turn over a blind eye intentionally. तो कल नजब भी छिन जाता तो उसमें भी चुप बैठे रहते और फिर भी अपने को बात अकवा समझते रहते. करबला भी छिन जाता उसमें भी चुप बैठे रहते क्योंकि एक मस्जिद छिन गई तो चुप बैठे भी थे ना. But if you are a coward, then step aside. Why allow Islam and the community to suffer because of your timidity? This is your personal problem. Leave the job vacant for those who are not cowards and those who want to follow the path of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Because why allow Islam to suffer because of your personal problem and timidity? अगर आप बुज़दिल हैं, आप में हक कहने की ज़रूरत नहीं है, तो किनारे हट जाइए। इस्लाम को क्यों आप नुकसान की ज़द में लेके आ रहे हैं अपनी ज़ाती बुज़दिली की वजह से? استخارہ دیکھ رہے تھے بیٹھے گئے بعض لوگ. So prophet said to those people, ukhruju, go out, wa hadha alaykum amir, and this boy is the commander upon you, he's your commander, the one who had knowledge of Surah Al-Baqarah. And prophet said that inna li kulli shay'in zurwa wa zurwatul quran ayatul kursi. Everything has a summit and peak, and the peak of Quran is Ayatul Kursi. You know, the Ayatul Kursi is there in Surah Al-Baqarah. The peak of Quran, that high elevation, highest elevation where Quran has ever reached, that highest peak is Ayatul Kursi. And Prophet said that U'titu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, has said to the Holy Prophet, أَعْتَيْتُ لَكَ وَلِأُمَّتِكَ كَنْزًا مِنْ كُنُوزِ عَرْشِ. I've given you, Allah said to the Prophet, I gave you and your nation a treasure from the treasures of my throne. فَاتِحَةُ الْكِتَابِ وَخَاتِمَةُ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ. فَاتِحَةُ الْكِتَابِ, that means Surah Al-Hamd, and the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. So Ayatul Kursi is also, أُعْطِيتُ آيَةَ الْكُرْسِي مِنْ كَنْزٍ تَحْتَ الْعَرْشِ. Prophet said, I was given Ayatul Kursi from the treasure under the arsh of Allah. وَلَمْ يُؤْتِهَا نَبِيٌّ كَانَ قَبْلِي. And no prophet was given before me. And no prophet of God was awarded with such a great treasure that I have been given, which is Ayatul Kursi. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, you know, that when Prophet described, in other words, about the talking about the incident, when Prophet described about the importance of Ayatul Kursi, Imam Ali says, فَمَا بِتُّ لَيْلَةً قَدْ مُنْزُ سَبَعْتُهَا مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ حَتَّى أَقْرَأَهَا. I never slept even one night without, since I heard that from Rasulullah, I never slept even for one night without reciting Ayatul Kursi. So every night I read Ayatul Kursi. This is from the treasure under the arsh of Allah. And وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاءُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ. What does Ayatul Kursi say? اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali of those people who have iman. What does Allah do when He becomes the wali? What does He perform? What's His attitude and behavior?
يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ.
Allah takes them out of the darknesses towards the noon. Yes. That's what Allah does. That's the entire success. If we are taken out of the darknesses into the noon. And what does the Tawhuts are doing towards those who fall prey to their satanic deceptions, whether in the name of democracy or in the name of freedom or in the name of women's rights or in the name of freedom of speech or whatever, give the dog a bad name and hang it. Who cares about the labels? The civilized world is going to war against those who do not share our values of freedom and democracy. Isn't that an insult in Iraq? You find the mothers of some of those, you know, innocent civilians who are being killed. The mother is sitting in the ICU, in the intensive care unit, doing like this with her hands because there's no electricity in the intensive care unit. And you will find the canine dogs are sitting in air conditioners. But for intensive care units, the mother is doing like this with her hands. This is Izzat? You call it Izzat? The difference between Iraq and Lebanon is nothing but Walayatul Faqih in one nutshell. Somebody likes it or not, that's the reality, which is always bitter. And will continue to be like this unless we open up our eyes. Now, the sooner we open or the later we open, that's up to us. But that's the way it is. So Prophet has said, رُبَّ تَالٍ أَلْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَلْأَنَهُ. I'm going to end my speech. There are so many reciters of Holy Quran that Quran itself curses them. رُبَّ تَالٍ أَلْقُرْآنَ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَلْعَنُهُ. So many reciters of Holy Quran who recite the Holy Quran, and Quran itself curses them. Prophet said, Sadaqa Rasulullah. He said the truth. Nothing but the truth. There are so many reciters of Holy Quran. Quran is unlike any other book out there in the library. It's the Nur of Allah. Imam Ali has said in Nahj al-Balagha, تَجَلَّى لَهُمْ سُبْحَانَهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ أَوْ مِنْ دُونِ أَنْ يَكُونُوا رَأَوْهُ. This is the tajalli and reflection of Allah in the form of words. Allah is mutajalli in His book. This is Allah's reflection. It's not unlike any ordinary book. It's the Nur of God. And this Quran is a witness. We know that this Quran is also a witness about our actions in our favor or against us on the Day of Judgment, regarding, depending on our behavior towards the contents of Holy Quran and the duties we have towards the Holy Quran and the duties we have towards Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, because Quran is united with the Imam of the time and his Nur. So there are so many reciters of Holy Quran that Quran itself. So when I'm reading a verse of Holy Quran which says, you know, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tattakhidhu al-yahuda wal-nasara awliya, but I want to butter up, I want to do tamalluk and chaplosi, because I want to save my business, my dunya, my immigration status. Allah says, La tattakhidhu al-yahuda wal-nasara awliya, but I want to do it, let Allah say. These verses of the Holy Quran is not rocket science either, because the Zionists have already asked their puppet regimes, like in Jordan, like Yasser Arafat, you know, and in the PLO-controlled areas, and already put a ban in the PLO-controlled areas about recitation of those verses of the Holy Quran we talk about Yahud and Nasara. Because the Zionists can understand the meaning, and that's why they're asking their puppets to put a ban. So if we turn our blind eye that we don't understand the meaning or the policy of Allah, then who are we, you know, whom are we talking about? Whom are we trying to fool? Everybody understands the meanings. That's why it's banned, and to read those words in the national radio or the TV or to teach to the children in the schools. So Quran says, فَتَرَ الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. Allah دل میں مرض سے تعبیر کر رہا ہے. فَتَرَ الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. آپ دیکھیں گے ان لوگوں کو جن کے دل میں بیماری پائی جاتی ہے. دل بیمار ہیں ان کے. يُسَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ. دوڑے چلے جا رہے ہیں ان کی جانب. يَقُولُونَ. کہتے ہیں, نَخْشَ أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَةٌ. ہمیں خطرہ ہے کہ کوئی مصیبت نہ آ جائے ہمارے اوپر. فَتَرَ الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. قرآن کی آیت میں پڑھ رہا ہوں آپ کے سامنے, یہ میرا جملہ نہیں ہے, قرآن کی آیت ہے. فَتَرَ الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. So you see those whom, in whose hearts there is an illness. يُسَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ. Rush, they are rushing towards them. يَقُولُونَ, they say, نَخْشَ أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَةٌ. We are afraid some calamity can fall on us.
Allah.
So, Prophet has said, اقرأ القرآن ما نهاك فإن لم ينهك فلست تقرأه. Read the Holy Quran, you know, as long as it is stopping you. That means the Quran is stopping us from so many harams, so we should also abstain. فَإِذَا Prophet said, فَإِن لَمْ يَنْهَكَ. If you find that Quran is stopping you, but you don't stop. Quran is stopping you from something, but you don't stop. فَلَسْتَ تَقْرَأَهُ. فَلَسْتَ تَقْرَأُهُ. So you are not reciting it. Even though you may be reciting, but you are not reciting it. Because you're not listening to what Quran is saying. Prophet is saying that you are not reciting it if you don't abstain. So we find that we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we thank the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, because man lam yashkur al makhluq lam yashkur al khaliq. And to provide us with this guidance and hidayat, and we thank his deputy to provide us with this basirat, what to do towards the tahut, Otherwise, we had no idea how we are supposed to behave. Because there were lots of people who used to consider the problem to be the solution. Isn't that right? There are still a lot of people who still consider the problem to be the solution. The solution has to be other than the problem. We all know that. But there have been and there are still people who used to consider the problem to be the solution. As it will continue to backfire. Their own selves. And the farther they are from the clearly mentioned teachings of the Holy Quran, the farther the same distance they are from Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin, wakhzul al-Kuffar wal-Munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasar al-Din, wakhzul man khadal al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur wahfaz wa ayyid ulama'ana al-Rabbaniyin, wa maraji'ana al-Rabbaniyin. لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم بك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على